stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Wonderful listeners to our show, welcome back. Tonight we have a panel of some of our amazing co-hosts. We have Michael, Patrick, Al, and Rick, which is good as our topic tonight is random conversation starters. So how this will work is that I will go around the table three different times per question. I would like to point out these questions I will be asking tonight were found by going through Facebook over the past year. The first time around the table is just to share our own thoughts. Second go around is to respond to the other co-host's comments. And the third to wrap up, if need be, before going on to the next question. So Michael has volunteered, yay, Michael, to be our first victim. Nice to have you on the show, Michael. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. The kids are in bed. Mama is doing something. And here I am.
It seems ages since I last talked to you.
Seems like it might have been even like last year.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Okay. So are you ready for your very first Facebook comments that you might have seen on Facebook yourself? And it's kind of like, how would you have responded to this? Your own thoughts on how you would even kind of cope in real life with this question. So your first question is as follows. You have a 13-year-old child who does not want to go to Disney. Do you leave him at home with his grandparents or force him to go with you?
So, I don't mean this is the way it's going to sound, but I can't think of another way to say this. I think this is a dumb question. And the reason I think it's a dumb question is because, and keep in mind that all of this is tongue-in-cheek, but if you are a person that is leaving comments and messages in Disney Facebook groups about this, dealing with Disney, then part of me thinks, at least for me as a parent, that if I have a 13-year-old and they don't want to go to Disney, then I failed. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think that the answer is either one. I think you need to look at your life and reevaluate it. Like, we sort of have this. We said we were going to take a break and not go back down to Orlando for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, that's a topic for another show. But then, so Charlie's birthday is July 4th. And we were trying to figure out stuff to do. And I thought, well, you know, we don't have to go to Disney, but we could just go to Orlando and do other things around there. Stay off property because we're not, quote, going to Disney. And then I realized, like, that's the most expensive part, right, is the resort. So if we're staying off property, we could pop a day over and go to Magic Kingdom. And Charlie said she didn't really want to. She wants to do something different that we haven't done. But that being said, we went twice last year, and she loves going. So I feel like, honestly, part of me would want to know more about why don't they want to go? Because if there's a trip, I'm not going to force them. If they're in this weird place and they don't want to go, they can stay home at a friend's or at grandparents or whatever. But I would be more concerned with what did I do wrong to make them not want to go? Like, hopefully it's just I just got back from Disney, so I don't want to go back. I don't know, but like, it's weird. Like, I've told the story 1,000 times about how Leslie and I didn't know that we were both Disney people all while we dated, and then we got married, and then on a whim, she said, do you want to go to Disney for our honeymoon? I said yes, and the rest is history. But, like, how do you not know that your kid's not going to want to go? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many kids do you have? That wasn't in here. So, like, if it's, are you like Rick and you have 45 children, then you could forget that one of them didn't want to go.
You wouldn't miss that one.
Right. And who cares? I got other kids to take their place. But, like, I've got the two kids. And if Charlie didn't want to go, like, for real, why? Like, what happened? If you want to go that much, because most of the time, I hate to say this because I don't want to judge people, but most of the time, if you're doing things right, then you can have something in common with your kids, right? Like, you can like to go to muscle car shows. You can like to go to Disney. You can like to go to the beach. You can like to cook or do whatever. So, like, how did you miss that your kid fell out of love with Disney? That would be my question to that.
Okay. And that's a point that maybe we can come back to in round two. Rick, you got 45 kids, apparently. What's your take on this question? How would you, if one of your kids suddenly said, I don't want to go, how would you respond?
I mean, technically that happened to us, except he was 12. When we first took our kids to Disney, Seth said he didn't want to go, and he cried. But we made him go anyways because we were at the airport and didn't have a choice. You know, what would we do? You know, because we'd already paid for his tickets and his airfare and all that. Maybe don't surprise your kids the first time.
Oh, okay. So this was a surprise?
Yeah. We went to the airport and said, surprise, we're going to Disney World. And he's like, no, you've ruined my Christmas vacation.
Oh.
And he was so mad. He was crying. And then when he was 18, we took him and he didn't want to go.
So basically, what you're saying is you would take your kids even if they didn't want to go.
If it's my kid, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they would have a decent time anyways.
In your state, what's the age limit that you can drop your kids off at, like, the nuns?
What do you mean?
Like, you know how there's, like, you can if you have a kid and you just don't want the kid anymore, you
that's
can
a like, baby, my
the fire station or whatever?
You can do newborns at the, as long as you drop them off at a hospital, it's legal.
Okay, they should up that to 12.
There you go. Okay, Al, how would you respond to this if you saw this on Facebook?
I mean, I would, again, being a communicator, I'd want to find out why they don't want to go to Disney, because this actually happened to us. But don't forget, we were living down there at the time. So we'd been there. I lost track how many times we'd been there. But Matt was probably like 13 and he was like, yeah, I don't really want to go because I want to stay here and, you know, play with my friends. And so that was the idea. He was getting a little bit older. And, you know, Matt was always kind of funny. He'd be like, you know, you guys always do the same thing. You go on this ride first. You always start in Adventureland. You go clockwise. And, you know, he would just give you like a real well-rounded answer. So we let him stay with his friends because, you know, we were only 30 minutes away from where he was. But I guess I would really want to find out, because being I love Disney so much, I'd want to find out, why don't you want to go? Is it something that you're afraid of? Do you like Universal better? You know, what is it? I'd be burning with, I wouldn't want to go after that because I'd be so interested in the answer. So yeah,
you're kind of more or less saying the same thing as Michael in some ways, that why, the big why don't you want to go?
Right. Because again, it's growing up, we were always a Disney family. So I would say, you know, what happened to change it? I mean, I know for Matt, everyone wants a Villains Park. I mean, once kids turn like 13, now Disney's a little bit better, but you know, clearly Universal is the adventure park. And when kids turn 12, 13, 14, they want to go and go on these thrill rides. And, you know, Disney just doesn't stack up. And even when we do stack up to it, the rides are divided amongst four parks. You know, Universal is so much easier to go from park to park. You park in the center and you go Islands of Adventure, you go to the old park. And, you know, so, you know, that was, I think, it.
Right. I still haven't been to Universal. One of these days. Patrick, what about you? You've got two girls. How would you handle this if one of them at the age of 12, 13 said they didn't want to go with you guys?
Yeah, so our oldest is getting ready to be 13 this year, so she's 12. So, I mean, that hopefully that doesn't happen. But, yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement, I think, with everyone else is, you know, why don't they want to go? So I don't think I could really enjoy the trip myself if the kids weren't happy or didn't want to be down there with us on a family vacation. So, I mean, I think it's a conversation figuring out why they don't want to go, but making them come along. So, you know, even if it's something that's going on from the perspective of, you know, are they losing some, do they feel like they're losing some of the magic? Has something happened that has made them not like Disney as much as they used to? Maybe we can reignite that on the trip down there. And maybe we can kind of focus that on the family, because, you know, Disney's something that really keeps us all motivated together and something to look forward to for the entire year. So I think if they weren't there, then that would, I just wouldn't enjoy the trip.
Okay, we are going to go round again. Just listen to your comments. I want to ask another question, and that is, just because we are Disney geeks, lovers, whatever name you want to give us, should that automatically be passed to our kids?
Yes.
Oh, Michael, yes?
That's 100% the answer is yes. I think the key is communication and talking and figuring out, right? We're really lucky in having a 13-year-old and a 3-year-old, because the things that used to be magical for the 13-year-old aren't as magical, right? Because she's growing up and realizing things, and she realized, you know, years ago. She's not that slow. But she's really big on Katie having the magical experience, and so she's excited for that, you know what I'm saying? Almost like a big sister would be. She's excited for Katie to see Cinderella Castle and for Katie to see Mickey and Minnie. And for what that is, it's the same thing as like a Santa Claus type thing, right? Like, Charlie's not as big on Santa now because she's 13, but when Katie is excited because we wake up and Santa had his cookies and the reindeer ate the carrot, like, Charlie's excited because Katie's excited. So I think the key is to figure out, because one of the things we did on the surprise Disney trip for Charlie's 13th birthday this past year was we told her that we weren't going to do like we normally do, which is super planned. We're going to do this, you know, and I think it was you, Al, that was saying about, you know, like, why do we always go to Adventureland first and go clockwise? Well, the answer to that is because that's how you do it. But we told her, like, we're not going to do that. It's going to be your trip. It was just the three of us. We left Katie at the grandparents, and we just let Charlie decide. I want to do this ride. I want to do that ride. You know, she got to do Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror for the first time. So I think letting them kind of figure out, right? Like, Charlie is not going to go to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique because, well, I don't think it's open yet still, but even if it was, because she's 13 and she doesn't into the princesses and whatever like she was when she was 6. So I think you just have to kind of reframe it and kind of look at what is there to do for them. Are they going to be now more into like the history behind it? Can you talk about the windows and them actually get it? And the history of the parks and the fact that, you know, what happened, what park in what year. I just think you have to look at what's going on and how you approach your trip.
Rick, any other comments, any more input on this?
No, I mean, I like the idea of talking to your kids and figuring out what the issue may be. Both times with Seth, it wasn't until it was just way too late. You know, we were either at the airport or at Disney before we found out that, hey, I didn't want to go or whatever. So the communication is key. But ever since then, yeah, we've been like super planning family. So there is a lot more communication about it, and we haven't run into that problem since. And you know, I'm happy to report that Seth does want to go. He does enjoy it now. So, you know, next time we go on a longer family trip, we're hoping to bring him with us.
And I think that's something else, Rick. Sometimes kids move away for something that was a family activity or something that they loved, but eventually a lot of those will go back to it. I think it's called kind of growing up and being independent of their own, you know, how they deal with things.
That wasn't Seth.
Right.
You know, because the first time it was because he didn't want to leave his video game system. And then when he was 18, it was because he had just got a girlfriend.
Oh, that'll do it. Al, anything that you want to add to this?
Yeah, just interesting. I have a friend of ours who it was a similar situation, and they asked the child what they wanted to do, and we'll do whatever you want to do. And long story short, they spent the whole day in Storybook Circus, which was kind of interesting. And they lived up to their word. They stayed there the whole day. That's what the kid wanted to do. And, you know, I asked the guy when he came out, because they live in northern Jacksonville in Florida. He was like, yeah, it was interesting. We know every bit of Storybook Circus now. So it kind of backfired, but the kid enjoyed it. But, you know, sometimes that can backfire, giving them a choice like that. That
was right.
Like, you know?
Patrick, how about you? Is there anything else on this one question that you want to add? Advice to other parents out there?
Yeah, you know, I think Michael touched on it earlier, and when he was joking and said, you know, it because we're Disney lovers, our kids should be too. You know, I think, and then he followed up with just a moment ago how it's such an awkward age. So, you know, at 12 years old, our daughter is emotional. She's crying over everything. She doesn't want to make somebody upset. She doesn't want to make somebody mad, have the wrong conversation. So, you know, I think communication is definitely key in making sure that you're talking to your kids. And I'm just keeping up with what they like, because just because we love Disney, you know, Mike said, if we're raising them right, heck, hopefully they'll love Disney because we love it. But, you know, they like their own things, and maybe it's not for them. And maybe that's a conversation that we need to have, and so we can figure it out, so that we can all figure out a way to be happy with the trips that we're taking. Maybe there's something, to Al's point, going over to Universal, or maybe there's something else in Orlando down the way that we can throw in on the trip to really make sure everybody is involved and is happy with everything that we're doing. So that would kind of be my two cents about it.
We're going to the next question. This one's quite easy, but I'm kind of curious just to see what everyone's answer. Chances are we'll just go round once unless you want to go round twice. And we're going to start with you again, Michael. On soaring, what is your breathtaking sight?
This is not an easy one for me because I like a lot of it. I was talking with Leslie about it. Her initial response was the mountains. My initial response was the Great Wall. But then I'm also thinking about when you go down over the water and you get the mist kind of moment. To me, that's kind of cool. I like a good drop. Right? Like a Tower of Terror drop, but also like a smooth, long plunge kind of thing. So I think I'm going to go with that.
Okay. Rick, what about you?
Mine is the Taj Mahal. It's just, I love seeing it. It's such a striking building, and the smell that they pipe in there is my favorite.
I can't remember a smell to that.
It smells like jasmine.
The one that they're playing now, or the old one version?
Yes, it's the one they're playing now.
Okay.
Maybe if you didn't close your eyes.
No, actually, well, yeah, okay, never mind. I was going to say I keep my eyes open, but there is one spot where I do close my eyes, but that's my secret. Al, what's your favorite?
I'm going to throw a weird one out there. It's when the golf ball is hit, and the reason for that, you wouldn't think of that, but the reason for that is I spent one day on Epcot Dream Squad, and I think one of my favorite magical moments that they taught me that they do is they would sit in the audience with a couple of guests, and when the golf ball was hit, they would simulate catching it because they made believe they caught the ball, and before they went in there, they would put like 8 autographs on the golf ball, and they would hand it to the guest. Oh, so wow. I got to do that just once. That was on loan from Magic Kingdom at Epcot. And that just, you know, just really special. And the group that I had with me, they were just so taken by it that I've seen it 100 times after that. And it always takes me back to that one moment that just made me feel so, so fantastic. So for me, it's kind of weird, but hitting the golf ball. Yeah.
It's not weird. And it's, I don't have that same kind of story, but I asked Steve these questions earlier on today, and he said he was going to go old school, and he would say his favorite part is the golf ball.
Really? Steve, me and Steve are thinking alike there.
Okay. Where am I? Patrick.
Yes. So I think, man, it would have been so much easier to say to rank the top three of my favorite ones. You know, I'm in agreement with everybody. It's so hard to just choose. But I think Taj Mahal definitely jumped up there for me, or the Eiffel Tower. But I think I've talked about it on many different shows, my affinity and my love for like the Chinese culture. So for me, I think if I was going to have to just choose my favorite one, and the one that I enjoy every single time, it's going to have to be the Great Wall.
When you go on this ride, do you like being at the top, the middle, or the bottom? Michael?
I like being not middle and not top, but kind of top middle, like in between.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like in the top third, but not the top, not the highest and not the lowest of the top third. Dead middle.
Okay. Hang on. Because I thought there was only three. Is there four?
There's three. Yeah.
You know what? You know, shut up. I like being not full up high and not down at the bottom.
Okay.
I like to be in the middle.
Okay.
It's the same place I sit in the movie theater, dead center.
Right. How about you, Rick?
What?
Top, middle, or bottom? The best place to sit when you're seeing Soren?
Oh, the top, so you don't see the feet.
That's a good one, Pat. I love that one. Very good.
And Patrick, what about you?
So this is going to be, this is very odd, because every time I've ridden it, I've only gotten the bottom. I've never been on the middle or the top, so I don't have anything to compare it to. So
Really?
That it seems odd.
Well, I like being at the front of the line, which always puts you at the top. And the reason why I like that is because Patrick Warburton from Seinfeld and, you know, a Family Guy, I love being up there because you always get somebody, could be somebody younger, somebody whatever, and they'll always scream out, "Hey, that sounds like Joe," or "That sounds like Putty," you know, and then you always get that when you're toward the front of the line. So I always look forward to that. I always enjoy that for some reason.
Patrick, how many times have you been on this ride?
Oh, man, I've probably been on it. I mean, every trip we've taken, so at least five or six trips.
Wow.
Wow. You could request that, Patrick. Just ask them when you go in. Tell them you've never been up there, and they'll be happy to accommodate you.
I'm going to have to do that this next go-round.
Yeah, lots of people want to be on the bottom because they don't like heights. So they'll definitely be happy to put you up top.
Yes, because when I first started riding this ride, I used to request the bottom, but not anymore. The only bit I don't like on Soarin' is at the very end when the fireworks go off. And I don't know why, I just got it in my head. I know the seat's going to, you know, shudder. And I just, that's my worst part.
A little insider tip on people who are scared of heights or whatever. So Leslie knows this because she does it. But it does not work on another ride. So if you're on Soarin' and you're like sensory overload or motion sickness or whatever, you can look to the side away from the screen and kind of break everything so that you can kind of come back to reality. And the place that doesn't work is in Flight of Passage, because you can't look past the screen. So she's cool on Soarin', but we did Flight of Passage and she almost murdered me because she could not do that.
Yeah, I haven't even tried that one. Okay, moving on, because we're doing really good here with these questions. Back into the parks for a moment, starting with you, Michael. Another Facebook question coming your way. Is it really worth buying magic bands now with all the changes going on?
I think that's a multifaceted question. If you're just buying a purple or a red or a yellow magic band, I don't think it is, personally. If you want to take home a magic band, then yes, it is. But if you're into collecting things, if you're into limited editions or special editions, then yeah. If you get, you know, I've got several Magic Bands that I bought, even when they gave them free. Like, you know, you get, I would pick, you know, I want the blue one or I want the red one or whatever. And we'd get the free one, and then we get to the parks, and there's a Madame Leota Magic Band, and I'm buying that. I'm not going to not buy that. But even when you don't technically, quote, need a Magic Band, I think that if you're into cool things and collecting, you know, let's be honest, toys, then, yeah, I think it is worth it if you find something that you like. If you are really into something, if there's a 50th anniversary Magic Band and you want to buy that because it's something to remember the trip by, then, yes, I think it's worth it. However, like I said, if you're just going to buy a red, green, yellow, blue, whatever, no, because you can do everything you need without it now.
Right. How about you, Rick?
Yes, totally. You can't do without a Magic Band, especially since they're getting ready to come out with the Magic Band Plus. I can't wait for those to come out. They look so neat.
So what does the Magic Band Plus do in a nutshell?
I don't know.
Oh,
it says okay. It has some sort of interaction with things when you're at the park. But they haven't really cool. announced like details about it. I think maybe, I don't know, but I can't not buy them.
Okay. When you've bought them, Rick, very quickly before I go over to Al, if you're buying them each time you go, what are you doing with them?
Wearing them? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
No, I mean, but when you get home, how do you display them? Do you shove them in the box?
We have a basket of them right now. I actually have several that I've never taken off the package and activated. You know, so it kind of indicates I have a problem. But
I was going to say, they have a show on Lifetime about people like you.
Yeah. The year before last, I linked all of ours together and used them as a garland for my Christmas tree.
Oh, cool.
That's a great idea.
I don't know if you have a problem. I think you're just a collector of magic bands, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We all have a problem. That's just his little part of it. We all have our own little thing, you know?
Okay. Al, you're speaking. Let's hear from you. Have you been buying magic bands at all? I mean, you live there. You work there.
Right. Well, not lately, but I do believe you should get them because it's what Disney calls a tangible memory. And I'm one of those people where I could look at something, be it a watch or a magic band, and just, you know, and you know me, I'm a storyteller. So when I look at that particular magic band, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the trip when this happened or that happened. So I'm 100%, yeah, buy them. Who knows? I mean, there'll be a day when they won't be around anymore. Like pin trading won't be as popular. So enjoy it while it lasts and get those tangible memories going.
Nice answer. Patrick, what about you?
Yeah, I think it's really subjective. You know, when I think about it, for me personally, I'm all about them. So I'm on board with Rick. So I'm a big fan of having them for every trip, buying multiple ones. We have them still in a bin downstairs where we have one for every person from every trip. We always get a new one. But, you know, I mean, if it's someone who doesn't really see the point in it or if they don't want that as a memory, then, you know, with the transition to being able to use your phone or your Apple Watch, that's also a good alternative. But if I am talking to someone, I always recommend the Magic Band. Like Al said, it's a tangible memory. So I can look at all my Magic Bands and be able to physically remember what was going on during that trip. And it can bring me to a specific memory. So I'm all about the Magic Bands.
Yeah.
We need to get a matching set when we go on our trip, Patrick.
Aw, yep. That's so cute. I like them. I think I would still go ahead and buy bands for myself. Maybe not to where Rick is, but I think it's just nice, you know, wearing that band on your wrist. When Steve and I have gone through security at the airport, I don't know if you guys do this. As soon as we're through security, the bands go on.
Yes.
We mean security.
Airport. Let me take a step back. When we're flying and we have to go through security.
No.
Also, Rick, Sheila is always picked in the random searches at the airport.
Yeah. I put mine on before I leave the house. They'll make it through security. Yeah, we do too, Rick.
You sleep in your magic bands. We all know it.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's right. I have a couple of them linked together to make them extra big and put around my ankle so I get to be on mouse arrest.
That's great. You can't leave the property.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. Any other comments from anybody before we move on? Hearing no one, we're moving on. This is one to get us all going, I think. Starting with you, Michael. You've become the new CEO of Disney. What's the first thing you're going to do?
I mean, probably undo anything that the previous Bob has done is the obvious answer. But I think what I'm going to do, if I were named CEO effective tomorrow, if you hear my dog whining, I apologize. She's a needy little thing. But honestly, and this is a really stupid answer to a silly question because we aren't privy to a lot of things, but I'm going to pretend that I did this in a magical way. And I've looked at the books and figured out the money, and I have done something to make it where we're not just nickel and diamond people for every little thing. In my opinion, I think that they should have done the parking for the resorts, paying X amount for value and moderate and deluxe. I think they should have just upped the room cost. It's silly because it, you know, let's say it costs you $15 a day to park instead of your room being $295, it's now going to be $310 a night. It's the same thing financially speaking, but I think that it looks better to the general public that you're not just adding on a quote fee. You're saying, you know what, we have to adjust for inflation and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we're going to raise your room rate. To me, that looks better than the little nickel and diming that it looks like, you know what I'm saying? So I would change that aspect. And if we raise prices, we just raise prices. Don't add additional fees and markups and things for stuff that used to be free, quote free, because none of it's really free, let's be honest. But that's what I would do. I would just kill off the, at least the appearance of the nickel and diamond, the guests, if that makes sense. Are you still there?
Yes, we hear. That
makes sense. Oh, sorry, I was on mute.
Dang it, Sheila.
That was the nicest minute of the podcast.
Oh, great. You know that's going to get edited out. Yes, Michael, it did make sense what you're saying. Rick, let's hear your comment.
Well, I think I would just maybe ride Big Thunder Mountain.
So you're the CEO and you're just going to be riding roller coasters all day, yeah?
Yeah, I think I'd take the jet and go to, you know, Tokyo, Shanghai. You check them out. Make sure they're up to snuff.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of, let me tell you this. I totally forgot to tell you this. My dad told me on our trip. My dad went to Disneyland in the 60s. My uncle took him and all of his brothers and sisters and cousins. There's like 20 of them. And they all got to go in for free.
Wow.
Because my great uncle was one of the pilots that flew Walt Disney's plane.
Wow.
I know, right? I was like, why didn't you ever tell me that?
God.
I wonder what other stores he's got, Rick.
Hey, my dad?
Yeah.
Get him on a podcast.
Yeah, God, that's amazing.
I know. I was like, well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just going to add to this. For those that's going to the expo up in California in September, I would imagine most people know by now, but they are taking Walt's plane back to California for the expo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I heard that.
Yeah, so hopefully Steve will get some good photos of that.
I wonder if I was going, but I'm not.
Nice. Yeah, I know. He's dumped you. He's taking me.
I wasn't invited.
Sheila, why is it that when you started that sentence, I thought you were going to say that they were taking Walt's cryogenically frozen head back to California?
Well, for all you know, he might be in the plane. Added bonus for the expo goers.
The plane.
Yeah. I still want to know how they're going to get it up there, actually. I suppose it comes apart, wings come off and everything. So, Al, I don't know what the question was.
Yes, I remember the question.
Oh, good.
Clearly, if I become yes.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, clearly, if I become CEO, I'm raising the wages for the cast members because it's getting silly where we teach a bus driver and they go to Mears for 50 cents more an hour and security goes to hospitals because they're paying a dollar more an hour. So cast members need to be up at least $2 each an hour just to maintain continuity, and just people need to live. And, you know, Disney's got to realize that if they pay them that $2 more an hour, most of the folks love Disney. Disney's going to get that money back. They're going to go to Disney Springs. They're going to do whatever. But it's just, you know, we got to retain more cast, and we're losing way too many cast that we don't have to really lose. So I'm definitely upping the wages for the cast members. They'll be happier. The guests will be happier. Happy experience all the way around.
Good.
Definitely.
I'll vote for you, Al.
Patch. See, I'm gunning for CEO. See that?
Well, I know Steve's got stock, so yeah, if it ever comes up as a vote, you know, I'll make sure he puts his vote your way. Patrick, what about you? You're CEO of Disney.
Yeah, Al just stole that right out from underneath me. Thanks, buddy.
Well, see, Pat, man, I told you, man.
Great minds think alike, though. But yeah. Yeah, no, I think I'll have to get, I think as a backup plan, what I would do is, man, I think someone mentioned something about a villains park earlier. I don't think I would push for the villains park. I think I would push for a Marvel park to be made. So, and maybe not a park, but an area in Hollywood Studios or somewhere else, or maybe it's a small park somewhere with some of the land that they've recently purchased, to be able to really build the Marvel area and build that up to draw in some more people. I think that it's a need with the love that is out there right now with the MCU, and especially with, I mean, when you look at Endgame and Infinity War and No Way Home and how much money these are bringing in, I think it's a win-win for Disney to be able to put that in and to just draw that in.
It's a great idea. Perfect.
Okay, Michael, any other comments on this?
Well, kind of. Along those lines, what Patrick said, there's a lot of money, right, in the MCU. We know this. No one is dumb. No Way Home is, what are they sitting at, like $1.7 gajillion or something now in the box office? So I think what I would do, because let's just be honest, if Disney can trade Al Michaels for Oswald, and if we, you know, Disney can have the magic and the power that they can, I would probably fight that whole MCU characters, Sony, whatever, east of the Mississippi, you know what I'm saying? So you can have the Avengers in California, but not in Orlando. I would probably fight that and just like rip out the Hulk coaster at Universal and just drop it into a park at Disney somewhere. Yeah, I'd probably go out after that route, because like whatever money you spend on legal fees and stuff, you're totally making back in people coming to the park because they can now watch Spidey get shot out of a cannon. They don't have to fly to California to see it. So I'm going to just make sure that the Avengers and all that stuff gets dumped into Orlando.
Cool. I do think we do need more parks, more than resorts at this moment, especially with all the changes going on. I'm hearing more and more people, you know, I'm not saying a high percentage, but even Steve and I are looking at staying off property next time. So, you know, I just feel the parks are getting overcrowded and we need more parks. So good ideas, guys. Rick, what about you? Anything you want to add?
No, I would definitely raise the wages as well. Maybe cut mine. Yeah, because I'm a simple fella. Yeah, I don't really need millions of dollars.
You just need your magic bands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would get free magic bands. I mean, I'll just take my salary in magic bands.
Well, if Rick's going to cut his salary, how is he going to be able to afford all 45 kids?
He hands them in at the fire station.
Well, I mean, as long as I'm getting paid what I get now, it'll be all right. I don't have to have millions of dollars.
Hey, if he raises wages, they'll be babysitting him for free.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'll just make my kids work there.
Okay, we are going to start winding down. I've got a couple of quick questions. There's some questions that we didn't get to, but I think I'm going to save those for next time. I'm going to piggyback off something Michael said, and it is one of our questions. So starting with you, Michael, we've had a few months of reading about the Genie Plus, maybe like someone like Rick and Patrick experiencing the Genie Plus. So my question to you guys is, would it have been better for Disney just to raise park tickets by $15 and keep fast passes as they were? Starting with you, Michael.
So I think this is another twofold, multifaceted type question. Would it have been better for Disney to raise park admission and keep fast passes free? From a perspective kind of place, yes. From a financial place, no. And I say that because the Genie Plus is not a set amount. With surge pricing and with having to pay a flat fee, and then you can pay X amount for, let's say, Space Mountain, but depending on what day, what time of day, whatever, like I could spend, I'm making up numbers because I don't remember all the actual numbers. I could pay the 15 or whatever for Genie Plus and then, you know, get the Lightning Lane thing for the one ride, let's say Space Mountain, for $8 on top of the 15. But then Sheila, you're there on July 4th and it's 12 o'clock in the middle of the day. And so you're paying the 15 plus $20 or whatever. So, yeah, I think from a perspective, along with what I would do as CEO, which is the stop nickel and diming people, I think it would have been better to just up the prices. But financially speaking, they're going to make a killing off of that versus just raising the price of admission.
Good points, Michael. Rick?
I'm fine with the way it is.
Now, you've experienced quite a few times, yeah?
Yeah. And I think at least of course, the free thing was great. I loved it, you know, from the before times. But I think presented with this, either do Genie Plus or raise all the ticket prices $15 for that average guest, works out better because, you know, a lot of people won't do it or won't even know about it. So they're saving the $15.
Right.
You don't have to. You can have a good park day without doing Genie Plus every day of your trip.
Right. What about you, Al?
For me, if I'm CEO, sorry, it all goes away. It goes back to the way it was years ago. I mean, we could put 2,000 to 3,000 people an hour. I mean, this way complicates everything, way stresses everything. Take it all away. We'll go back to getting 3,000 people an hour on Pirates, on Small World. And this is why people get so stressed out at Disney. You know, the meal plan, all these different kinds of things. It was much less stressful years ago, just going and going on the rides. And you know, I'm kind of like, that's why I'm a National League guy baseball-wise too, because I like to figure things out. It was fun to say, hey, let's go to Fantasyland during the parade because, you know, all the kids are going to leave after that or whatever. It kind of made it more fun for me. And to me, it's just way too overcomplicated now. And I mean, maybe that's, it's a product of bygone days, but, and maybe it's never ever going to come back, but it's just, it, I think people would enjoy it a lot more. There'd be less fights, there'd be less stress, and just make it the way it was before. And I think it'll all equal out. It really will.
I don't know what data you have slash can share, but another thing that I really want to see is what were the wait times pre-Fast Pass, with Fast Pass, with Genie Plus, because I've seen certain posts and websites and whatever claim that, like, without a Fast Pass, it's actually 40% quicker to get in and out of each ride. With Fast Pass,
that's my point.
It actually takes more time because you got to let all these people that Fast Passed in, et cetera. And then you're right. You're making it super complicated now because it's not a Fast Pass that everybody gets to pick on whatever day out of their trip. It's stuff that they have to wake up and buy at 7 o'clock. So who knows what's going to happen and how long it's going to take you to get on Small World now because of Genie Plus.
Right. I mean, back in the day, they used to have competitions between Small World and Pirates, how many they can get on per hour. And they were coming toward about 4,000 at some points. So, you know, I really think that we have to just, less complications are better, because everything is so complicated in life. And that's why maybe some of these kids don't want to go to Disney, because it's, the parents are fighting and they're trying to figure things out. I mean, shoot, the first time I went, it was 1977. And it was just, it was peaceful. I mean, even though there were so many people in the park, you went there, you waited online. I mean, again, it depends on your personality. I'm a person, and we mentioned this in another episode, I don't mind standing in line, speaking to folks, talking to folks, and, you know, finding out where they're from. And the time passes for me, you know, and it's, and like I said, it's being I was at the park at the, in those days, I could honestly say it was faster. It was less problems. So I would sweep it back there, or I would at least do a test market thing for 1 week. Let's just see what happens for a week. And it's less complicated. You know,
not to hijack completely, Sheila, but what you just said, Al, brought to mind, and I hate to say this because people use it for good and bad, but what would Walt do? He wanted the parks constructed
right.
in such a way. He wanted the parks constructed in such a way that you couldn't see out of them. Right. You were in this thing. It was completely all immersive and whatever, and how much stress and quote real life gets thrown in because you have to schedule your fast passes or buy your Genie Plus. Like, does that actually take away from the overall experience?
I think it does, because one of the things that Walt always wanted is, and this is where Disney's going so far away from Walt's ideals, is that he wanted everybody to appreciate the park, to be able to afford the park. And let's face it, and I could tell you, working the front end of the park, it's getting more and more high end. You don't see very many regular people. I know a lot of people in the land that have never been to Disney. Disney should be working more with the 501c3s. I know I'm slanted on that, but it's becoming more and more of a rich person's paradise. And Walt wanted everybody to afford it. And here's the funny part of it. Those people in Orlando who've never been to Disney, those are the people that are going to be working at the parks, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I mean, I was lucky when I worked in the park, I had gone, you know, we went maybe every other year or something. So when I started working at the park, I knew it like the back of my hand. The people that go in there today, when they take traditions or whatever, they've never been there, a lot of them. And this is what Disney is losing on the other end of it. They're losing that part of the audience. And, you know, and here's the funny part of it, is that the folks who are coming, because like a lot of Disney now is, you know, guys who maybe have these tech jobs, who they're just going somewhere for a weekend. They're not really loyal to Disney. They're just, you know what, this looks good for the weekend, let's do this. And when something looks better, they're going to do something else. Disney is losing. It's kind of like baseball. When baseball went on strike in 1994, they lost a lot of their core audience. And this is what's happening to Disney. We don't see it right now because things are just happening in the MCU and all these different things, but this is what's happening under the surface. So the way we feel about Disney, that's kind of going away, because they're losing that core audience. Because if you can't afford it, it's out of the question. I mean,
more crowded would it be if it was more affordable?
It would be maybe a little more crowded, but I think, you know, you have to, the park is capped and we do have four parks now and, you know, you work with it. But I just think it's we're going into dangerous territory now where we kind of see it's becoming a place for affluent people. We're regular people. I don't know what regular even means anymore, but it's becoming, you know, it's not really diverse, let's just say. And, you know, I think Walt wanted diversity. Walt would have wanted it. I don't think Walt would have been in favor of fast passes and things like that. I mean, he was very progressive with stuff, but I mean, he'd be up on technology, but I think there's other ways of figuring it out. There's other ways of channeling it without, I mean, a simple answer would be keep the parks open later like they used to be. So 12,
yes,
1
to 2 o'clock. I can remember the parks being.
Yeah, 12, 1, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you'd have, you know, yeah, there's yeah. lots of ways around it. So that would solve that problem easily. Keep the parks open till 2. You're going to raise the money for the cast members. Everyone's going to be happy. You know, I know it's never going to happen. It's kind of pie in the sky, but that's just where it should be. And I think because, you know, back in the day, you didn't see as many fights. You didn't see as many problems as you do now. Complaints at guest relations. And because it's just people go in stressed out because there's just so much yeah. to do. And that's why, like you were mentioning before, a trip to Orlando without going to Disney. I highly recommend it. I mean, there's so much to do in Orlando without, I mean, go to Gatorland. I mean, and I'm a big Disney fan, but there's so much to do in and around Orlando that it's just incredible. And it's just, and it's almost like, can you do it? That would be like a challenge. Can you go to Orlando without going to Disney, you know? And it's, and you certainly can. And you'd be surprised how much cheaper it is on that kind of vacation.
Okay, I am going to just sort of like stop you three guys talking or some of you guys talking because Patrick hasn't even had a chance to answer this yet. So, Patrick, can we get an answer from you?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of good conversation and going back and forth, and I was just letting it go. but no, like, yeah, I think to Michael's point there, I see two sides of it. So the businessman in me wants to say absolutely. You know, they're trying to recoup money that they've lost through the COVID pandemic. And while there people want to say, oh, Disney's still making money hand over foot. Yeah. But when you're losing $1 billion a quarter, that's a tremendous amount of money to lose when you're already struggling to keep staff and you're struggling to fix some of the issues within the parks. So I think this may have been, I mean, this has been a decision that was coming for a while, but, you know, I think realistically, I also see it as something that is slowing the park down. You know, I commented a lot on Facebook posts and in groups throughout the pandemic when people were wanting to bring back fast passes. I wasn't a fan of it for the simple purpose of it slowed lines down and continued to back them up. And, you know, I honestly think that it led to an increased wait time and you just came to a standstill at times. So I think from the looking at it from that perspective, I think I would rather pay a higher ticket price for that purpose. But I'm a fan of doing things from, you know, one of the things that we talk about at work all the time is, you know, we overcomplicate things. And I think to the points that were just being talked about, Disney is overcomplicating some stuff right now. And I think Genie Plus is definitely something that's overcomplicating it. We right now, you're to the point of we're not doing extra magic hours. You're having the early morning hours, but that's only 30 minutes. So now not only are people who are staying in the resorts having to get up a little earlier to get to the park 30 minutes earlier than they would before, but now they're having to get up earlier to plan for that, to plan for Genie Plus. And then it's just another way to have to be on your phone every 2 hours as you're trying to figure it out. It's kind of hard to just go in without and not have a plan now to just kind of wing it. So if you're very organized, and I know I think me and Rick are sort of the same mindset. We're very organized people when it comes to that. So I think that can create a little stress and take away from the magic that can happen within the park. And within the visits that you're doing and take away from the overall experience. So when you add that in, when you add the stress of having to worry about that every 2 hours, the stress of waking up earlier to get that done, and then all of a sudden you're adding those wait times on to the lines, because now where they're not just, to their point, flowing 4,000 people through, but now you've got 4,000 people an hour plus that may be in a standby line, but then you're flowing all those other people through into the lightning lane line that's stopping that. So I think, you know, I can see it from both sides, but I would much rather pay a higher ticket price and not have FastPass or Genie Plus personally.
Okay. Really good answers from all of you. I'm listening to them and I'm thinking, this is a shame because we do have to close this show out. How would you feel if we did one episode talking about some of these issues, the pros and cons of what's going on at Disney?
That last question could be its own show. I mean, my goodness.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And I know, Michael, you know, you like debating and things. So I'm offering this to you if you want to.
So you want a show on how to fix Disney?
Yes. Okay, so we are going to wrap up with one last question. If you read Facebook every day, which I'm sure most of you do, in your sort of like travels amongst groups, I'm sure each and every one of you have come across this question. So I thought this is a fun way to end the show. So last question, Michael, help me out here. I've got a new pet. I need a Disney name. But let's make it a bit harder. The letter has to begin with P or S. Give me a Disney name for my new pet, Michael.
What kind of pet is it?
Oh, it's let's go with dog. There you go, a dog.
Okay, if you have any understanding of the dog's behavior, i.e. the dog is super destructive or doesn't listen or is a sweetheart or whatever, I would either go with Peter for Peter Pan. That would obviously be a well-behaved animal, or Syndrome.
Or
a not so well behaved animal.
Oh, Syndrome. I like that for a dog's name, actually. Do you ever see these posts, Michael, when you're on Facebook? Help me out. I've had a new baby. So, I need a name.
Yeah. Like, and we bought a new car in September, and it's really funny. It's a Volkswagen Tiguan. It is blue in color, and the technical Volkswagen name for the color is Stone Blue, and it kind of looks like this person, this character. My voice is cracking. This character. So we named our car Korg.
Rick, what about you?
Panchito.
Ooh. Okay, now I'm going to show my ignorance. Where's that from?
The Three Caballeros.
Okay.
He's the Red Rooster.
Oh, okay.
That's a good call, Rick.
Thank you.
All right, let me hear you call the dog in at night, though. How are you going to... You open the door, you want the dog to come in.
Well, if it was a perfect world, I would do it like Seth does. And, like, roll some R's and do that Mexican... The yell from Coco... I can't do any of it, but my kids can do it like crazy.
I mean, that was easy. You just kind of lean your head out and go, and Chito!
Really,
Oh my gosh, I can imagine that at 11 o'clock at night. Your neighbors would love you.
I'll have to send you a video of my kids doing it.
Oh yes, please. Hey, no, send it. We'll add it to here.
But that's why I do it. My neighbors would hate me.
Yeah. Okay. Al, what about you?
Yeah,
Last question of the night.
Since I picked Anna as my princess, so that's the personality, I'm going to have to go with Sven. Something about that name I kind of like, you know? Come on in, Sven. This is Sven.
Oh, that's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah. It's like we used to do a little Disney joke with the kids. We say, how do you count to 10 if you're in the Frozen movie? You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Sven, 8, 9, 10, you know?
Oh, yeah, I do like Sven. I'm just trying to see how Michael would call syndrome in at night.
Syndrome! Oh. Hey, for me, it's easy. I'd be like, Sven, you want some water? Come on in.
Okay, Patrick.
You sure you don't want me to name your car? Because that seems to be the more prominent question in our Disney groups is what Disney name for my car. But,
okay, you can do both because you're the last person.
So I'm going to have to go with Scuttle.
Oh, Scuttle.
Well, that's a good one too.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. Come on, Scuttle. For some reason, I imagine a small dog, Scuttle.
Yes.
Yes.
Scuttle, get on the Disney shuttle, Scuttle.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a little Maltese or something like that. Some little tiny little dog or maybe a little Chihuahua.
With the little haircut.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. On that note, guys, we do have to wrap it up. This has been real fun. And it's not over because I think we're going to do an offshoot of this show. To our listeners, thanks for being along for the journey. And if you've got any responses to any of the questions that was posed tonight, come over to our Facebook group and make a comment. I'd like to know what dog name you would choose, beginning with P or S. There's your assignment. Anyway, to Michael, Al, Rick and Patrick, thank you so much for being part of this great, amazing show tonight. I've really had a great time sitting with you guys and chatting. So to all our listeners, good night. We love you. Take care. Until next time. Bye, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny. It's been fun but now I've got
and thank you!